book of Acts. I'll start reading chapter 4, verse 34, and read a little bit in chapter 5. For there was not a needy person among them. They actually need the last half of the sentence of the last verse. And abundant grace was upon them all. I like abundant grace. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sale and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translates means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself. With the wife's full knowledge and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard it. Jeez, another one of those interesting stories. Barnabas, what a great nickname. Isn't that a great nickname? Son of encouragement? This is a great nickname, don't you think? I think so, you know. I mean, no, I didn't say that. This is a great nickname. And given to him by people who knew him, because not because they needed a nickname, but because that was his nature. And we kind of see that. We got enough information about Barnabas throughout the book of Acts that we see that. Barnabas was always the one who was helping, bringing, helping people. He's the one that brought, after Saul of Tarsus got saved, before he was the Apostle Paul, when he was up in his hometown Tarsus, all those years, it was actually years he was up there before Barnabas went up, got him, brought him back down, got him involved in ministry, ends up being the Apostle Paul. They traveled for years together. He was always doing this. When Paul and Mark had a little problem there, it was Barnabas that was seeking to get the team back together. Son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. So, back in the early days of the church, abundant grace was upon them all. And people who had tracts of land or houses would sell them, bring the money, and they'd distribute it among the church. Now, don't forget, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of church members at Jerusalem at this point. And there's not a needy one among them. That's cool, I think. I'm not against large donations, actually. Just throw this in here in case you're wondering. I'm not against large donations. I don't think everybody who owned a house sold a house. I think that people who had abundance gave the extra to the church to help other people, which is exactly what we do around here with all the projects that we have going throughout the year in different things, how we all kick in and do things like Eden Children's Village. Things like that. We do that all year long. Crop walk this afternoon. We're involved in a lot of different things. Helping other people. Now, while we're helping other people, motivation. See, last week we looked at right motivation, wrong actions. This week we're going to look at right actions, wrong motives. Hard to keep those two separate. See, sometimes, especially in our culture, I think we're more prone to this. Maybe not. I don't know. But I know it's prevalent in our culture. We kind of think that the end justifies the means. See, as long as I get to here, it doesn't matter how I get there. Not true.
That's not true. Yeah, you may get here, wherever your goal is. But how we get from point A to point B is very important to God. And I believe what's ever very important to God ought to kind of be very important to us. So our motivation is as important as what we're doing. And we have looked at a couple extreme cases. Disclaimer, extreme cases. You do one little thing wrong, God's not going to zap you. Okay? God is not in the zapping business. He did not zap my BlackBerry. Barbara. She's so mad. Well, maybe that's why God wrecked your BlackBerry. God is not going around wrecking BlackBerries. Okay? But BlackBerries evidently do it. Today, my contract runs out today. And my BlackBerry died last night. Very, very similar to my automobiles when the warranties run out. Have you ever noticed that? See, they don't do all this testing for us. They do all this testing for them. They don't want to be paying out all this money. They thought, that thing's going to live for 2 years, and that's it. There you go. I'm sad over my BlackBerry. However, God is in the helping business, but God also checks our heart. Every now and then it's good for us to check our heart. You have problems with motivation? Why am I doing what I'm doing? See, every now and then we need to ask ourselves that. Now, Barnabas, evidently with good motivations, had extra property, had extra whatever, sold it, gave it to the church because he wanted to help people. I am sure, I've been in ministry a long time. And largely, I'm talking about largely, you know, $100,000, $500,000, $1 million, you know. See, somehow, as quiet as we keep everything about money around here, which we do, we are very careful who gives what. Okay, unless you tell me what you give, I don't even know. Don't want to know. I don't want money to be the hindrance of me having to do something pastoral. I don't even want to fight that battle. And it's just simply nobody's business what you give anyway between you and God. Now, there are a couple of people who give because you've got to record it and keep track of stuff, you know, taxes, dumb stuff, and laws. But minimal people in this church know what you give. That's the way it should be. But if somebody gave $1 million, Mayflower Church, I'm sure in a small community, word gets out, and there'd be some ranting and raving over that. Actually, if you'll give $1 million to Mayflower Church, I will rant and rave over you. I mean, if that's what it takes, I can rant and rave, I can. I will. You know, I mean, yeah, not against that at all. But Barnabas' heart, evidently, was right. And then the flip side of the story, see, God does this sometimes with extremes. That's why we see certain stories that are in the Bible and you know, because Barnabas was not the only one that gave. Ananias and Sapphira were not the only ones that gave. So we're seeing the flip side, sort of the dark side, you know, the light side, the dark side, the exact opposite sides. The opposite side is somebody else did the exact same thing. But their heart. Maybe they wanted the glory that other people were getting. Maybe they wanted, who knows? Say, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know why I do certain things. You know? When we really stop and think, why am I? What is in my heart? We need to ask ourselves that question every now and then, and don't lie to yourself, be honest. Say, why? Why am I? And God will help us keep our heart and our behaviors so we got right motives and right actions. And there's great blessings throughout the scripture when we got right motives and right actions. Barnabas ends up being an apostle, has a fabulous ministry. Him and Paul take the gospel to 2 continents. Would have took it to 3 continents, except God wouldn't let him go into China. God sent him to Europe. Sent Timothy to China, well, India. But right actions, right motives. And then we got God in the mix to make everything work out right. I do find it interesting that when Peter was kind of rebuking Ananias, and I find it interesting because Peter was never even accused of being the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. James, brother of Jesus, was the pastor of Jerusalem. But Peter said, "You've not lied to men." Now, lying to men is not a good thing. Okay? Lying is not good. According to the dictionary, lying is anything that is said or done with the intent to deceive. That's what the dictionary says lying is. So it's not misspeaking. It's not, you know, saying something you thought was true and it turns out not to be true. It's with the intent to deceive. He said, "You've not lied to men," which is bad enough. You know, there's a lot of scripture that talks about lying. And I don't know of any scripture that has good things to say about people who do it. I just don't. It's actually on the list of 48. There's 48 things in the scripture that say to the effect that if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's on the list. So that's not good. My advice, if you want my advice, don't do it. This is not good. "You have not lied to men, but to God." Now, the Holy Spirit, mentions the Holy Spirit. This is hard to explain. Okay? The Godhead. This question came up last week, actually. The Godhead. Wait, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is this Holy Spirit? Well, he's part of the Godhead. Now, the Godhead is three persons, one God. Okay, not three persons, three gods, not a committee God. Three persons, one God. We have a couple of pictures on earth that kind of help us with that, because it's really hard for an infinite being, that would be a finite, an infinite being, a created being, to understand a finite being. Did I get that right? Infinite being. That's right. Okay, there we go. And I have too many words going around in my head. Say, it's hard for the created to understand the creator. And I'll tell you, throughout all eternity, we're going to be learning more about him. We're never going to get it. We're going to be growing and learning and growing and learning. That is the truth. Because he is who he is. And in our created state, we can never totally understand him. Now, I am convinced on day one there, we're going to get a lot smarter. But throughout all eternity, we're going to be trying to understand this God who created us and loved us. There's that much to him. He's infinite. So a picture, an egg. So we have some things. An egg, white, yellow, shell. Three things, one egg. Okay? An isosceles triangle. That's one I like. Okay? Three sides, all equal. One triangle. And you move one of those sides at all, and you no longer have one. Say. Okay, so Peter is saying here, you lied to the Holy Spirit, you've lied to God. Now, if lying to man is bad, then lying to God is really bad. Okay, because you can lie to me, you know. If I know you're lying, I might not even care, you know. I mean, if it doesn't involve me, it doesn't involve somebody else that I know, you know. It may be, see, people tell me in counseling all the time, well, the truth is, I've come to the conclusion, especially in marriage counseling, the truth don't even matter. It does not matter if he said this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is how you perceived what he said or did. That's what matters. So bring in a videotape. Yep, he said it. He'll sit there and deny it anyway. I didn't say that. That's not what I meant. But now this room many, many times. Perception. But God goes beyond perception. God knows. God knows what we said. God knows the intent of our heart. God knows the intent of our heart when we don't know the intent of our heart. So, as we are looking at the rest of our Christian life, and consecration Sunday coming up, we're starting a stewardship campaign next week, making some pledges, making some things, making some commitments. And hopefully, on a regular basis, you're making commitments to God and growing and taking that step and letting Him challenge you and taking another step. We need to check. Am I doing what God wants me to be doing? Am I doing it because God wants me to be doing it? Check. And we'll follow that. Not that we'll always be right, because we won't. Every choice you make won't be right. Everything you do won't be right. Sometimes you'll find out you did something and, yeah, you thought your motivation was good and it wasn't. You had ulterior motives that you even lied to yourself about. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. Sorry. I am. I'm sorry. I wish when you got saved, God just zapped you. And then you're perfect forever. Thank you. Say, no tests, no trials, no nothing. Say, maybe just die and go to heaven. I don't know. See, churches that give altar calls, that tell you who really got it, right? You know, you come out of a, you know, church. There's some churches that give altar calls, people come up and get saved, you know. See, boy, afterwards, if God just zapped them at the altar, you tell who really got it and who's faking it. My brain thinks this way. I'm sorry. It's a little distorted in there sometimes. Yeah. Right motive. Right action. Did Barnabas always do what was right? No. Him and Paul got in a huge fight, split the team. No, God used it for good, but they split the team. But in all, when we're trying to walk every day with God, do the best we can do. When we stumble, we pick ourselves up and keep going. All in all, God takes all of that, good, bad, and ugly, and makes good come out of that. That's what He does. He's really good at making good coming out of what we consider bad situations. He is. And then, who knows? Barnabas. I love that name, Barnabas. One, it sounds good when you say it, but just fun to say. Son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. You know, sometimes it's not what people are saying to your face, it's what they're saying behind your back. That's kind of what I know. See, I've been in front of people all my whole life. And, you know, I know. After service, in order to get out of the building, well, here we have two exits. You actually can get out of here without talking. But in a lot of churches, you know, you have to go and you have to say something nice to get out of the building. Ah, Pastor, that was a great sermon. Whatever. Let me out of here. I want to see the game. But, yeah. I know this. But wouldn't it be great, because when the apostles were talking about Barnabas behind his back, they were calling him Barnabas. Wouldn't that be great? See, it says in Proverbs, a good name is better than lots of money, wealth. Good name. Not so much the name we give ourselves or even our friends give us. What name does God give us? What does God say behind your back? Yeah, I guess we're thinking about. How does God view us? Are we being the person He created us to be? Well, not 100%, though. Are we on the path? Are we taking strides in that way? I fall down, skid my knee, go get back up. So, after I lay there and whine a while, then I get back up. Yeah. And the end is, not today, today's not the end. The end is, that day, over here, you walk in, it's just you and God in the room, God says, ah, well done, good and faithful servant. That's going to be a good day. That's going to be a good day. It is. Prayer request. I got some in my bulletin just a minute.